Welcome to Acorn to Oak with Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy. Within each acorn, there is the DNA that strives to be a mighty oak tree. All it needs to reach its potential for greatness is to be activated. You are the acorn. On this show, we will share with you the tools and guidance you need to grow into the person you are meant to be. And now your host, Penny Quayle Pierce and co-host Matthew Donaghy.
Hello there. Good afternoon or good evening, depending on where you're listening from. My name's Matthew Donaghy, and tonight again I'm joined by Adam Weller. And we've titled the show this evening, Has the World Gone Mad? Because quite frankly, at the moment, it can feel a bit like that. So just allow Adam to say hello.
Hello, good afternoon or good evening, everybody. Real interesting show and a real current situation going on. So should be a good one.
Yeah, we thought when we were thinking about the show last week, we thought we've got to do a show that covers the most current issue for everybody at the moment, which is the virus that we're all facing. And so we just wanted to sort of open up a conversation on it, and because we're seeing very much two sides to what's going on, and just wanted to add our take on it and add some advice and help anybody out there that's struggling. Because there's lots of different facets to this issue, and I mean the first one obviously is a lot of people are sort of in mad panic. I don't know what it's been like over in the States, but it's a liken to Black Friday. I mean, we've had people shoving each other out of the way in supermarkets, and this is all over toilet roll, and it very much feels like the world's gone crazy, because we're faced with a very real issue. There is a virus that could spread. So obviously we want to put in sensible measures that can help and lessen that spread. The trouble with that is it seems like half the planet's got, or half of England it seems, has gone into the world's going to end on Friday, and we need to eat as much food as we can and use as much toilet roll as we can. Because when you look at the behaviour, it's absolutely crazy. And the weak and the weary and the ones that we're supposed to be protecting and putting themselves into isolation are the ones that are actually going to end up suffering, because there's not enough food on the shelves now for the ones that need it. So it's been really interesting looking from my point of view and just studying the behaviour behind it, because it's like we're faced with a very real problem, but we do some crazy behaviour that's not relative to what's going on, and it causes more panic. Very much, I know the media can be very good at spreading information that can be useful, but at the same time, it can almost cause a frenzy, and people get carried away and they think there's going to be some like zombie apocalypse or something. And from what I've seen and looking at in the information and researching, like, this is not as big as people are making it out to be, and it doesn't have to affect us as much as it is. I know Adam, we've been looking at statistics and that sort of thing, and it's actually something that we've been through before, and we'll probably go through again. And it's about being realistic and not panicking.
Absolutely, because, you know, like you say, especially when you look at the behaviour, it's like, well, actually, we're in a real time of need, and everybody's just me and me first, you know. It was one of the things when we decided to talk about this show that was actually quite important for me, and so I spent a bit of time looking at the figures and the numbers and that sort of thing, because it's like, well, actually I wanted to try and give some perspective to it, because I was looking on Worldometer to get these figures, But the total case is, and obviously this is a bit fluid because it's ongoing.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But it's around 240,000 cases.
Right.
Now, the death toll on that is around about 10,000, which that works out to be about 10%. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm fully aware that, yes, these are people's relatives and loved ones, but when you look at the amount of people being affected by it to the amount of people that are having fatalities, you know, added to that, a lot of the time there are underlying issues. You know, I mean, for us in England, flu has killed over 100,000 people already this year. So, or the seasonal flu, as they refer to it. So, you know, there are lots of epidemics as such happening all over the place. And, you know, the coronavirus, it is very public, and it is, you know, obviously it has spread alarmingly. You know, places, you know, like Italy, where they've got, you know, thousands and thousands of cases. So, you know, once again, it does highlight that interconnectedness that we've been talking about in recent weeks in our previous shows. And also, yes, we can all make a difference and do something about this.
Yeah.
But is putting everything into lockdown really the right way to go? Yes, we've got to sort of control this and do something about it. But people just taking extra measures, you know, being a little bit more conscious of their hygiene or what they do when they sneeze or they cough, you know, just the simple little refinements. I don't think, for me personally anyway, I don't think we need to go into lockdown and shut everything down and shut the schools, which is happening tomorrow for most of the country. It's kind of like, carry on, keep going. And yes, some people will get it and others won't. But it's the same with anything. It's the same with the common cold or tonsillitis or even diarrhoea and sickness. You know, it's unfortunately, yeah, we're going to catch bugs.
Yeah, I mean, it really does put it into perspective. Obviously, living in the UK, when you think 100,000 people have died from what we class as like a common flu, and that's 10 times more than all the people that have died from corona so far. So, and I mean, I know looking over time, some of my research, I mean, between the 1918 and 1920s, there was a Spanish flu, and I mean, that killed 1 million people. 1957 to 1958, there was a bout of Asian flu, and that worldwide killed 2 million people. 1968 to 1969, Hong Kong flu, 1 million. But the difference between those is there was a very aggressive side to it. And one thing that, again, some of the stuff you hear in the media and you're not 100% whether to believe it, but I've seen a few interesting programs, and some of the experts are saying that it's actually already seeing that it's pulled back in China, where it originated from, and that it is already sort of receding. And one has to think that if it is, flu is flu. Now, there is a pattern to the symptoms and the length of time that you go through it. And it could be a more aggressive hybrid version. But ultimately, there's going to be a pattern. People are going to get it, and those that get it will be resilient to it. And a few more people might get it, but generally it does go away. And we had a cough in November, and it's interesting, again, me and Adam were talking about it, and it's like nobody mentions the cough that everybody had for 6 weeks in November, because there was no big thing. But imagine someone had told everybody that there was this deathly cough going around. It would have been the same panic, because it was one of those colds that just hung around, wasn't it? I mean, I know everyone was sort of suffering with it. And I think it's really good to educate yourself on certain things. I'd always recommend, obviously, we're taking advice from medical professionals, and always looking at and taking the advice, because I do think that, I mean, some of my group works I've postponed just because they've recommended large groups isn't recommended. And I think it's sensible as a business owner and as a teacher that not to run classes and that sort of thing. And I think it's all about really taking the precautions and taking the advice, but also being realistic about it. I mean, you hear of people, or I've heard of people over here that haven't even got it, that are thinking of isolating themselves. And these are not people that are already ill. These are not people that are in the vulnerable category. They're people running around the shops, shoving people out the way, are not the vulnerable category. And these are the ones that just seem to be acting up. And I would say it very much, like, as Adam said, one thing that's come up for me and has really made this real, looking into the behaviours and what we can really learn from this as a global situation, because every situation we can learn from. And ultimately, if you look hard enough, there's gold in there for everybody. And I think what's brought it up for me is, isn't it a shame we have to have an epidemic worldwide for us to come together globally? Because for me, right here, right now, it really does feel as though there is something happening where there is this big understanding that, look, we're all in the same boat here. It's like we're not interested when one other country is going through it, but when we're going through it as well, we can suddenly have a bit of compassion. And it's having that, getting back to that that we consciousness,
yeah,
rather than the I consciousness that we're all in right here, right now. And I'll put my hand up and say, admittedly, I've looked at my own behaviours and thought, you know what, it's when something happens like this that we realise there may be 7 billion of us here, but actually it's a small world. And things can really hit home when situations like this come above. And if nothing else, if the world becomes more compassionate with each other from this situation, just that one thing would be a miracle. You know, and there's so many things that we can learn from this if we look hard enough into it.
For me, that's where I look into, and that's where, for me, having the spiritual lifestyle and understanding helps, because sort of when you look at it from sort of almost a spiritual law point of view, it's kind of like, you know, if you're not getting the lesson or the learning, you know, you will keep having the same experiences. And it does almost feel like, you know, one way or another, with some of the things that are happening with the world, you know, we are being sort of pulled together almost. And it's like they almost seem to be getting worse and worse, and more we're seeing that actually we are together. And, you know, it's just people are starting to wake up and see it and have that interconnectedness. And, you know, for me, sort of having that sort of spiritual look at it, and that, you know, there is a lesson and a learning and gold in everything we do in life. So why would it be any different on a world scale, you know?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, when you look at it, it's like how many of these things do we need to attract before we get it and we make a change? And I know, going back to some of our previous shows, some of the global issues, looking at the Earth as a planet, we have wrecked it, and we're at the point now where we need to make major changes, and that needs to happen. And it's like, how many disasters or floods or things do we have to experience until we actually really do make a change? And again, this isn't a localized issue, this is a global issue, and we need to actually start sort of coming together. And again, like I say, if that's what's happening because of this virus, I think that can only be a good thing. And don't get me wrong, I would prefer a much easier, more pleasant lesson for everybody, but we're not at the stage where we're able to learn the nice lessons, because we haven't been willing to take them up until now. We've been very much focused as a planet on technology and evolving that way, and that's all very well, but we've lost our sense of human in that. And it's when situations come up like this that we really need to pull together and be very realistic about it. So take the good advice, but also, if you're not vulnerable and you're not within those categories, it's like we can't all shut down here. Like when they say about lockdown, like things still need to go on. People still need to be out and about. You can't lock a country down or lock a city down and then say nobody's allowed out. But because if I'm an able-bodied person and I don't have it, why shouldn't I be out delivering food to the vulnerable? So even on a complete shutdown basis, you need to think about it realistically and be like, well, that can't actually happen. You still need to have certain things in place. And there's people in hospitals that, yeah, you can shut the hospital down, but people still need to be out and about. Like, we can't just stop. And I think that's where some of the fear comes in. And we were quite passionate when we were talking about the show, is trying to get people to break through the fear and the panic and actually sort of take a breath and step back and be realistic and mindful about the decisions. And if you are out, if you can be out and helping others, then that's the thing to do. I know very much it is the second part of the show is about how you respond to the situation and what we can do to help that. And that's why we wanted to do the show, to raise awareness and give a realistic viewpoint on it. I know some would agree and some won't, and that's perfectly okay. But there's been such a huge amount of fear up within the UK, and it's highlighted as well something that we've covered on previous shows, mental health. Because again, people can't handle the situation that's going on at the moment. So we just wanted to be very open about the talk, and obviously that's something else we're going to cover in part two. There we go. We've been saved by the bell on that one. So thanks for listening. We look forward to speaking to you more in part two.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
I'm Kathy Williams, host of Sexy Mom Abundant Life radio show on Thursdays at 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. On the show, we explore living abundantly in every area of your life. Ways to let go of limiting patterns and beliefs and to step into the flow of creativity and possibility, knowing you are supported by the universe.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
1 in 3 adults has prediabetes. 1 in 3. That means it could be you, your football buddy, your football buddy, or you, your best man, your worst man, you, your dog walker, your cat jogger. While 1 in 3 adults has prediabetes, with early diagnosis, prediabetes can be reversed. Take the risk test at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Hey, welcome back. So the second part of the show, very much same subject, but we're just talking about response, because it's, and again, when I've been reflecting on the situation that's going on, not just for myself, but for globally, it was what came up for me, and it's how we respond in these times. And very much some of Penny's teachings is it's not how you're responding when things are going great, but it's how you respond when things aren't necessarily going great. And so it's like, are you going to allow yourself to feel the drag, or are you going to respond positively and use this time to reflect? And I say that to very much a lot of people with the lockdowns. A lot of people are staying away from work. We're not doing our social activities. We're not going to our usual clubs, hobbies, whatever they are. And this affects people on a very large level, which a lot of people weren't expecting and weren't actually aware of. And it's the disconnection from human interaction, from that, if you're used to working in an office, and then you're stuck working at home, you're probably grateful because you don't have to do the commute. But a lot of people aren't aware just how much having human connection and being around other humans can be comforting, whether you're aware of it or not. And a lot of people have been saying that the first couple of days was great and fun, but actually a lot's coming up for them. A lot of mental health stuff is coming up for them, and also families spending a lot of time together, even just a week in, can be feeling the pinch. And just being very, very real, families, we love them dearly, but aren't they just the best at pushing our buttons and annoying us? Me and my brother and my sister, when we were younger, we used to wind each other up something chronic, and because it's your family, you think it's funny. And we carry some of these behaviours over into adulthood. So they know when to press your buttons and do it with alarming regularity and often find it funny. And so these can be trying times for everybody.
I think it's important to find those, you know, those releases, those outlays, whether it is going for a walk on your own in nature, or, you know, don't forget your friends or your family if you're not with them, and that sort of thing, because we do live in a technological world now where, you know, Skype or WhatsApp or whatever, you can FaceTime people, you can still have that connection even if you're in isolation, you know.
What I loved about, I think it was the Spanish, I saw a clip, was they were all out on the balconies playing music and singing, and it was just so amazing, and you think, actually, that's the stuff we need to be concentrating on right here, right now. That, yep, right here, right now, we're going through a difficult situation. However, if everybody takes personal responsibility, we can actually pull together and find some communion. And I noticed that out walking earlier, just through, I live in a relatively small town, and people do say hello and talk to each other, but I saw a lot more people out on the street talking, and it's something that I've noticed just looking around, is more people seem to be talking that would probably ordinarily be walking past each other in the street. And again, it really does show that a lot of people are responding in a very positive way, and that's pulling together, and realizing that we're not just a small family in the UK, but actually it's a global family, and we need to pull together and be sensible and help each other out. It's the only way we're going to get ourselves out of the sticky situations we're in, expanding from the virus. But the working on the earth and sorting out the problems there, the environment, again, these are big issues that we need to start taking a bit of responsibility and talking to it in a healthy way. And something you can practice with family is having getting on and getting on through the difficult times as well. Having difficult conversations rather than arguments, trying to respond and be a little bit more empathetic. And for people that are working at home that are feeling the drag or the pull, it's like, don't allow yourself to get dragged down. There's a lot of coaches out there, a lot of people out there that can help you through these times. Something that I've certainly done and been thinking about within my clinic this week is I've postponed group work because I just don't think it's appropriate at the moment. Especially the next week or two will be really interesting to see what happens. But it's also offering services over Skype because a lot of people aren't going to want to travel. And having a clarity call with an expert can be really what they need in a difficult time. I know very much Penny through Acorn to Oak is offering free clarity calls and has set up a community page to help people that are struggling at the moment. It's certainly something I offer through my clinic in a balance, and it's changing how we work. And actually, sometimes you've got to step it up a gear and sort of put it out there and say to people, look, these are going to be difficult times, but actually we can make it a lot easier on ourselves and use it as a time to reflect and grow. Mental health is an epidemic levels already, and sometimes people having more time, it can be a struggle for them. Add to that a lot of people sort of with money worries up, whether it's you're employed and you're only going to be getting statutory sick pay, or whether you're self-employed and everything could be up in the air. There is a huge amount of panic, and fortunately I know the government is setting up all kinds of schemes and things like that to protect people and get people looked after, but it's very much people are stepping up and helping everybody, helping each other out is very much how we're going to get through this.
And we need to, really, you know. And while you were talking, one of the things that really sort of come up for me was, you know, and it doesn't really matter what the situation is, you know, whether it is the mental health issues, coronavirus, the environment, it doesn't really matter because it sort of applies to all of them. But there's, you know, there's always a choice, and that's not to say we can always choose the situations that we're in and what happens to us and that sort of thing, but there is always that choice in how you respond, you know. Yeah. There has been, like I say, in England, there's been a whole lot of people buying into panic and fear and stocking up on toilet roll because one person sneezes and 100 people poo themselves and all that sort of stuff. Or you can make the choice, you know, like sort of you and Penny are, and actually, you know, this is who I am and what I do, and if you need a chat via Skype, free of charge, because it is important to remember that, you know, as much as everything appears to be stopping and shutting down at the moment, life goes on, and you know, people still have problems, and if anything, it's just compounded by this, because where they only was worrying about 10 things, now they've got 20 things because they haven't been to work, and how are they going to pay their rent, and
it's certainly a way that we can help. It really is up for everybody, I think. And the next sort of thing I wanted to talk about was very much within a family unit when you're finding things difficult. Best thing to do is just to try and just be a bit more empathetic with each other and realise that we all have things going on, and just try and press those buttons a little bit less, because it is, again, one of the other things that's coming through is it's not only how we respond to them, but how we need to really get a lesson around how we are responding in general. And it's being more empathetic and being more real with people and not using sympathy as an excuse to not do anything. I've spoken to some practitioners recently, and it's it's almost like they're buying into the fear of what's going on globally, and these are people of a spiritual nature. And again, it's like sort of taking them back to basics and saying, well, look at the stuff you've been taught. And again, it's sort of leading into the third part of the show where we're really going to talk about the spiritual side of this. But it's saying to people, you know, we have more control over this, and it's not allowing it to control you. It's you making the best of the situation and using the tools that you've got. And actually, people need coaches and people working within mental health more than ever, because faced with an epidemic situation, when you're already feeling sort of mental health issues or strains or stress, I mean, stress is the biggest killer in the world, and this is going to, the stress levels at the moment are absolutely skyrocketing. So having a good coach, having someone that you can talk to that has a realistic issue and expertise in your emotional wellness and how to deal with that and how to take control of the situation, it's imperative for people right now. And it's amazing how many of them sort of turn around and go, oh, right, oh, yeah, okay then. And it can be real easy to get dragged into the sort of the fear and the low vibration. When you look at it from an energetic point of view, if we're just looking at it as energy, it's like the virus is of low vibration and it's affecting the whole world. And it's not no dramatic dark energy or anything like that. It's just when you're looking at the vibration of the virus, is low, and it will lift. But that's what we need to be doing, is working on our vibration.
Meditation and using all the
energetic tools you've got to look after yourself, and obviously send it out to others. And we're obviously going to expand on that a little bit more later, but it's taking personal responsibility and doing what you can and staying positive, because people need positive people in the world. There's going to be a lot of people that right here, right now, they can't be positive. They need somebody to stand up and go, you know what? It may look as though the world is going mad right here, right now, but you don't have to be one of them. And we can be realistic and we can pull together on this. And again, it's that unity and coming together. And that's how we need to respond.
Yeah.
So very much when Penny put the free clarity calls out, I thought, what a great idea. So I'm basically offering the same thing. And it is offering people whatever they need, whether it's coaching or whether they just need clarity around what's going on. What's really important is getting people to reach out. I remember years ago, before I did this work, I went through a phase of I just wouldn't reach out to people. And sometimes I knew I needed to do something, but I just wouldn't do it. So if you are struggling or anything's going on, get in touch through Acorn to Oak or direct through my website. Whatever it is, it doesn't really matter. If you need help and you need support, find it early on. Don't allow yourself to get into the muddle of what's going on. I've been dealing with an issue recently where I've lost my brother. And one thing I found, because obviously going through a process, it's like dealing with the emotion in waves when it comes in. And with having that, dealing with that as well, I did find there was a day when I would, as Penny would explain it, I spent a day in the swamp, Spar Alla Swamp, as a good friend Tracy would say. And we liken the swamp to all your emotional baggage. I went there for a day, and it took me probably 5 or 6 hours to sort of pull myself out of it. But it was just because of some of the stuff I was processing and some of the emotional stuff I was going through. But I was sure as hell I was getting out there as soon as I could. So yes, it took me a few hours to do it. But I know one thing I do know is if I'd spent 1 or 2 days in it, then it's real easy to get used to it and spend 3 or 4 days. And then all of a sudden you're at a 5-star month-long holiday at the swamp. And if you haven't got the awareness, and that was for me what really helped me to drag myself out so quick, was having the awareness that I was there in the first place. So if you are feeling the pinch, get in touch with someone as soon as you can, because you don't want to be a week later feeling twice as worse when actually some clarity or just a chat or just some expertise could really help. And it's the practitioners, like, get to work. There's going to be a lot of people out there that do need help, and that's what we need to be doing.
It does. It comes back to everybody just doing a little bit more. You know, we're not talking massive refinements and life-changing actions or statements, but, you know, like I say, the Acorn to Oak with their community groups and the clarity calls and you with it in a balance and that it is. It's do that little bit extra. Ask that extra question, you know, or if it is within the family unit, you know, because that's the other great thing about family. We know, maybe not necessarily to say they're lying, but we know when they're not telling the truth. You ask if they're all right and they go, yeah, but you know they're not.
Yeah.
Just probe a little bit further. Come on, you know, we're in this together, but we're in lockdown for the next 2 weeks. How are you really feeling? Because to be honest, for me, I'm bored stiff of this already and I've had enough. And just saying it and expressing it and owning that's how you feel, 90% of it will drop away. And then actually 3 hours later, you realise that you really enjoyed watching that film on the TV and you've made the choice to just own where you're at, flip the whole situation on its head and enjoy it. Because the greatest choice of all, any and every situation in life, you know, do it in sadness or do it in joy. You know, which one are you going to choose?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, yeah. And if you do get put on lockdown, yes, there's financial implications and this, that, the other. But try and enjoy the time you have. Get round to that DIY project that you've been promising the wife, but you've never got the time. Or, you know, whatever it is.
Well, but that one's going to get you in trouble.
Yeah, sorry, guys. But, all right, so that probably does come to a good point for a break. So we will see you shortly for part 3.
Conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
We are talking about your life. Ever wonder, is this as good as it gets? No, it could be so much better. At Acorn to Oak, we know you are seeking more happiness, joy, unconditional love, financial freedom, passion, and purpose. Find your unique mojo and live an extraordinary life. Want to know more? Contact us at our website, acorntooak.org.uk.
Long ago, you wouldn't think of galloping on a horse while doing calligraphy, and you wouldn't have attempted to ride your bike while typing a letter. Yet you think you can safely operate a multi-ton vehicle while texting? Behind the wheel is no place to multitask. If you want to BRB, drive now and text later. Lives depend on it.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hey, welcome back. So the third part of the show, we wanted to really expand on the spiritual side of this and some of the spiritual responsibilities that we can all be upping our game at. It's like one of the things to mention, if you've got more time on your hands, there's nothing better than expanding your consciousness a little bit, learning a bit more. Again, we're going back to that response. Rather than getting dragged in it into this, allow it for a time for you to personally reflect and grow. So if the things you've been thinking of doing, rather than watch that Netflix box set, start meditating a bit more, start gaining a bit more connection. And for those of us that are sort of Reiki practitioners, energetic experts, it's sending energy globally, it's obviously sending prayers and good intentions to raise the universal vibration. I know it's something Penny's setting up a lot of stuff with Acorn to Oak at the moment to really pull together and send out that universal source energy to help raise the vibration globally. And again, it's getting people to sort of talk about it a bit more and be a bit more open about it and step up and really put everyone putting that responsibility in. I know something with having a bit more time on my hands myself, it's looking at how can I help and support others, and looking outside of ourselves and thinking, well, actually, there's a lot of people making a lot of effort out there. But I think we all need to try and make a little bit more effort. And on the spiritual side of things, it's very much about taking it seriously and looking at who is less fortunate than ourselves. And I'm sure we can all turn around and say that there's someone less fortunate than ourselves. So therefore, we should all be grateful. And I'd like to read a little passage. A friend posted it earlier, and it's a quote from Swami Satchinanda, and it's, "You're being tested here," is the title. And it says, "Without hurting ourselves first, we cannot hurt others. Whatever we do to others, we ultimately are doing to ourselves. This very world is an examination field. You are being tested here. You are being purified. You are being given experiences. If everybody is nice, you can easily maintain your peace. It's in the unpleasant situations you should prove you can maintain your peace." And that, I think, says everything to me about what's going on at the moment and the direction that I need to take in it. And it's that standing up and taking responsibility and doing what we can, and not just taking personal responsibility in our daily practices of meditation, but it's putting out there to others and saying, look, we really need to get real here. People need to be able to find the peace in this world and find the connection, because it feels to me like this is what everything comes down to. It's not about, for me, everyone becoming spiritual, but it's this global, we need to come together and have empathy with everybody else. And it's kind of what made it really easy for me. We did some training with a absolutely amazing Peruvian shaman a few years ago, Javier, and he the way they refer to everybody is brother and sister. So everybody's your brother and everybody's your sister. And it really opened my mind, like such a simple comment, but when you feel the energy behind it and the intent behind it, if only we saw each other, everybody saw each other as family, we wouldn't be doing half of the things that we're doing. And we certainly wouldn't be treating the planet or treating the planet like we would a family. I mean, you wouldn't treat your family home the way that we treat the planet. So why are we allowing these behaviours to go on? And it really opened up and thought, you know what, wouldn't it be amazing if we just started referring? I know very much within young men, and I love it, I really have to say, in the last over the last 10 years, there's been lots of slang words for mate, geezer, but the one that's really stuck in England especially is whatever your term of phrase, whether it's bruv, bro, bra or brother, just how many men are referring to each other as brother. And it's amazing. And just that one thing, it makes you feel really nice when you walk into a shop and it doesn't matter the ethnicity of whoever's saying it, and it almost makes it more powerful when it's,
yeah, it's more
two
personal.
Worlds collide and you call each other brother. And the local Indian shop, we call each other brother, and he says exactly the same thing. It's really nice when it's genuine. And I think if we saw things from the bigger picture and actually saw each other as family and say, like, we have our own personal families, and you could say that the UK is a family and the US is a family. Well, now we need to expand that and see it as a global family and help each other with the issues that we've got. And
because I almost think you can almost learn from kids with this one, because, you know, put 50 kids in a room and it doesn't matter their ethnicity, no, whether boy, girl, black, white, blue, pink, green, it doesn't really matter. Yeah. They're going to play, they're going to have fun, and they're going to get along. And it's like, it's only really when we grow up and, you know, we start allowing outside influences to adapt us, and obviously our personalities come out and we sort of choose to mould ourselves to what we wish to be and that sort of thing, that you then get that competition. And yeah, it's then not, oh, he's my brother. It's, oh, no, well, he's got a really expensive pair of trainers, so I need to go out and get a better pair. And yes, and then you're in a competition. And like you say, you know, when the feeling you do get when you get that genuine sort of connection and, yeah, yeah, hey, what's up, bro? Yeah, I'm good. It makes a difference, you know. And
yeah,
it doesn't matter if it's that, you know, that small action of just saying thanks to thanks, bro, or actually putting out that, okay, so I'm here, how can I help with this situation that's going on? Because the joy that you're going to get from that, and, you know, with especially under spiritual law, you know, and karma, what you give out, you'll get back. So if you're doing one good deed, well, then you're going to have 10 people do good deeds back to you.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Yeah, and I mean, that's not why you do it, but that's the flip side to it. Russell Brand did a good podcast and has done some great videos recently, and mentioning about this human connection that people are sort of missing. And it's like everyone needs to just like step up their game. We really do. And I'm talking to myself here as well. And it's like we really need to use this situation as a positive in as many ways as we can. And it's not ignoring the negatives, because obviously in every situation there's going to be some unfortunate parts to it. But life is life sometimes, and we can't sort of dwell in it. We just have to sort of crack on. And I don't mean that in ignore it and get on with it. I very much mean about learn from the situation, like take the positives, like do what we can. Like if things feel like they're falling apart at the moment, well, did you ever stop to think and wonder if they were fixed in the first place? Or maybe things sort of need to break down a little bit so they can be refixed. And if you feel like you're being pushed in a certain direction that you weren't expecting, it's like, embrace it. Like, reflect on what's going on at the moment. If you do find times difficult, it's like connecting with the people that you need to connect with. And for those that are sort of feeling the push and aren't necessarily using the tools, many, many times along my path have I been responsible for my own downfall. Sounds very, very dramatic, but it's like you spend a couple of days sort of a little bit down and just feeling not so connected. And then you think, well, when was the last time you meditated? Oh, well, yeah, I haven't been on that the last couple of days. And it's something that I've been doing all week. Is my practice has been everything, because it's finding that connection in the morning and keeping my focus during the day has really then helped me to sort of help my clients and guide clients. Because unless I'm connected and I'm in alignment, how can I expect to help others? So again, that's a responsibility I take very seriously, and it's something that we all need to do. I know one thing my sister's been doing with the kids is they've been learning a bit of mindfulness and meditation at school, and so it's expanding that at home, and using this time to teach your children, especially all parents out there. Like, they get great schooling at school, but half the stuff about life they won't learn from school. So now's the time to give them the life lessons and teach them about what's really important. Like, feelings are way more important than money, image, anything else. It's like your prime thing in life should be happiness, like, full stop, period. Like, if you're looking to aspire in anything, the first question you should say is, what would I love to do? What doesn't seem like work? What would my ideal life be? Because often we tell ourselves the story that, oh, well, I can't have the life of my dreams, because if I was having fun all the time, that wouldn't be working, so that's not right. And it's saying, well, actually, no, that's absolutely right. Like, you need to do what you love to be not the best at it, but to really do well, you have to have that passion. And it, again, it's brought up that for me recently, is it's kind of like, this is the time we need to bang the drum even harder. This is when we need to shout even louder, to really get the message out there and say, you know what, stuff might be hitting the fan right here, right now, but we can shake that off and see the positives and actually use it to fuel the fire that we've been starting for a while now, which is very much gaining the awareness around global issues, pulling together, people waking up spiritually and feeling a bit lost and disconnected because it doesn't make sense. The way the world is responding doesn't make sense. And we need to make that change. And so in a way, there's a part of me that's really excited about that. And
yeah, it's
almost like, can't wait for the changes, because I think so many positives are going to come out of this. And again, it's sort of being mindful that, yeah, a lot of people are going to lose a lot of people that they love. And that's a real shame. And it's giving empathy to those people and being mindful in those times, but also not losing your focus and
yeah,
your fire.
Yeah, it's almost, you know, sort of like the war or sort of like the Hitler argument as such, where it's, you know, war and that sort of thing is terrible and there's lots of life lost and countries decimated and that sort of thing. But the growth, the camaraderie, the solidarity that is often created out of those times and out of the disasters far outweighs sort of the tragedies. And, you know, it is, like you say, I think it is important to focus on the positives,
yeah,
where you can take them, you know. And
it's way too easy to focus on the negative, and it's almost like a default setting we seem to have. So it's, yeah, working against that.
Yeah, you do. Or for me, I find you just drive yourself crazy, you know, and for me, it's very much about getting centred in your heart and getting away from all the stories and the crap and the mumbo-jumbo that's going on in your head.
Moment.
Yeah, you know, especially if you are isolating alone or something like that, you know, that's where you want to be pulling out your pattern interrupts, put the dishwasher on, do some washing, play a game, whatever, you know, that's when you get into your flipping things and doing bits a bit different just to, you know, stop the rut you're in or get out of the swamp that you parked yourself in, you know.
Yeah. So just to reiterate some of what we've been talking about, it's to all those practitioners out there, to all the spiritual people, like, start banging the drum a bit louder, offer, get your services out there, offer support to people. To those people that are looking for help, get in touch with Penny at Acorn to Oak or myself through Inner Balance. It's reach out, gain that help, respond in a positive way and use this to grow. So thank you very much for listening. We've really, really enjoyed the show. If you need any questions answered, get in touch.
Yeah, take care, everybody. Really enjoyed this evening's show. I hope you did too.